phone left, pin it on. Yes. Went back there in the office, had another one. I went to pulling it off, and so there's an ear broke off it, flew out across the office. And I thought, well, so between the two, I had enough parts to put this one back together. And I'm trying to be real easy with it. You might want to remember that when it comes your time down the road. All right, good job singing all the way around. Let me see if I got the button on. All right, we're ready to go. Here we go. It sounds like we're on the air and ready to go. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Ephesians in chapter number 2. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. In Ephesians in chapter 2. And as you look there in the chapter that's there in verse number 10, you can find the place. If you're able to stand, then we'll stand while we read and begin in verse number 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, that's an ordained walk. If you're a child of God, here's how you walk. Here's where you walk. Here's what you do. Wherefore, remember, obviously we forget something, that in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time that ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, talking about between Jews and Gentiles, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace unto you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, Father, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of the Word, and we thank You for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. We thank You, Lord, for the blessings that You've bestowed upon us already. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on this subject, when we are one in Christ. Now, we live in a world that's religious and religious-minded, and make no mistake about it, it's going to take more than a little bit of religious in your mind. It's going to take something deep down in your heart if you're going to be able to walk with God. Now, have you ever noticed that most of the time that whenever God does something that'll be lasting for you and I, it ain't a sermon of 20 minutes or 30 that we're hearing in the house of God. It's Him bothering us by the Holy Ghost all week long about whatever it is that we've been negligent or whatever it is that we've done wrong. That it's not waiting until church time, buddy. God going starts dealing with my heart and dealing with your heart. I got to tell you, you know, most of the time that if you harden your heart, is that when God does something drastic enough to be able to get your attention, more than just you'll end up paying for it. That's the way that it is. In this lesson we're looking at, it reminds me every time I go to a funeral, I see people, you know, who want to have a lot of hope for their departed loved one. But, you know, in this Bible here, God talks about there's a time when there's no hope. I hope they go to heaven. It's too late when they've drawn their last breath. You know, I've never had anybody, in fact, they'll go to meeting you just as soon as you get to a place, and even though you know the person, even though you know them well, you know how they live, and what they'll do is they'll go to trying to tell you, well, at least, you know, I'm glad to be able to know I'll be in heaven with them someday. And they have to say that on a credit line out of one side of their mouth because they don't have the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Here's what I've noticed. Nobody's ever glad if their loved one died, a beer drinker, a dope head, or whatever else, adulterer, fornicator. Have you ever had anybody walk up and say, listen, buddy, I'm just so proud of my husband there. He was running with three or four of the women, but I just love him because we went to church on Sunday. You don't? No, you're not going to have that. You know why? It don't go together, does it? Doesn't go together. Now, you know, some preacher, he'll get up and lie and cheat and connive and all that just because he's stupid. Somebody said, oh, I don't like the word stupid. Well, that's just stupid if you don't. Did you know that the Bible condemns them that are saying things that are block, and he called them a blockhead. You know what? Blockhead questions, that's what God called it. You know why? They could have known better. They didn't want to know better. Now, I realize, though, that whenever you begin to look into this Bible, you find is that nobody wants their loved one to die without hope, without God, and go to a devil's hell. Now, let me say to you very simply, you'll already know this. If you live your life without God, and you die without God, you're going to spend eternity without God. I got to tell you, when you're in church and out of church and more out and you are in, something's wrong with that. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that I can tell you a whole list and straight. In fact, most of the time people have come to the house of God, and if you get a little bit of black backslid in your heart, then you're better shape than I'm in, because I'm a lot backslid. But I want to say to you that I've known people, they had a preconceived notion before they ever went to church. I know a preacher that's in hell right now if he died like he lived. And I liked him fine. His daddy was one of my best friends. And let me tell you right now, he said, I'll tell you how I am. I'm gonna go to this meeting because I know a lot of people and daddy wanted me to go. But if they go to preaching on stuff that's goes to getting on me and that things I don't want to believe, I'm going to get up with my men and walk out. He's changed his mind on that now, by the way. See? Now, I'll tell you what happens is, in hell, they lift up their eyes being in torment. And they cry out, send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that we live in a cursed world. Did you know that? Now, in Genesis 3, don't turn there, but in verse 17, remember when God said he's going to curse the ground for man's sake, for man's sin, remember that? That's the reason why every time you go out there and you've got a garden, it's nice, it's clean, you've got it manicured, and you go back in a few days and there's some unwanted weeds that are there. Why? Cursed ground. In this lesson that you're looking at, you begin to find out, number two is that we're not only living in a sin-cursed world, but we're living without hope, without God, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, I got to say this to you. If a person's without Christ, they are without hope. Make no mistake about that. You know, over there in Proverbs in chapter 1, don't turn there, but in about verse number 24, he said, God called and you refused it. And then he said over there in Proverbs 1 and verse number 28, they shall call and I'll not hear them. Now, I can tell you, I know a lot of people up and down the road of life that don't want anything to do with God, the Bible, good, right, moral, decent. You just go ahead and do what you believe's right, and I'll do what I believe right. I can't. What you believe sending you to hell. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, is that just because that a drunk sobers up doesn't make them a Christian. That means they're headed to hell now sober when before they at least was drunk. When God saves you, he changes your life for all eternity. And by the way, let me say it again for those of you that may have missed it. There is no such thing in the Bible as a Christian who is a beer drinker. No such thing in the Bible. And if there is, you find it for me and show it to me. And if you can, we'll go get drunk tomorrow together. But you can't. It's not there. You got to listen to somebody that don't know a lot about the Bible. They'll try to be able to go ahead and whitewash that and smooth that over and this and that. You know somebody that's a beer drinker? Well, when they die, they're going straight to hell, I can tell you. If God saved them, it wouldn't be because they quit drinking. It'll be because they never came to him as an empty-handed beggar and got born again, washed by the blood into the family of God. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, I'll say something else about it. is that Christ died to take away this curse that we're talking about. Look in the book of Galatians chapter 3. It's about verse number 10. Galatians chapter 3 and about verse number 10. Now in verse number 10, here's what he says in that passage and also in verse number 13. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. All right, and then verse number 13. He says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Now, make no mistake about it, Jesus Christ, but he died on the cross, bowed his head, gave up the ghost, said it's finished, and resurrected the third day according to the scriptures to win victory over death, hell, and the grave. And let me tell you, he took away the curse from you and I that'll be born into the family of God. Let me tell you right now is that over there in the book of Proverbs, it's in chapter number 3, it's about verse number 33, the Bible said the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. That's something, isn't it? God's got a curse on them. Not going to be able to get saved and come out from under that. And let me tell you that God has set before us, the Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 11, he set before us a blessing and he set before us a curse. If you want the blessing, you'll have to come to Christ. If you want the curse, you were born with it. And you'll die without hope, without God one of these days. Not because that he didn't love you, but because you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved. In this lesson that we're looking at here, you'll find that we're talking about the household of faith. And by the way, let me say to you that last but not least, at number 3 or 4, whatever it is, I guess that's number 4. I can't even read my own writing now that it's cold. But let me tell you something, is that when you begin to look into the Bible lesson that's there, you're going to find out that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Amen. His death on the cross took away and removed the curse from us that we might be able to enjoy the blessings of God throughout not only this life but all eternity. Did you remember over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and about verse number 13, whatever he was trying to comfort, he said, comfort one another with these words. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not as those that have no hope. You know what, those that have no hope, they died without the Lord. I had an uncle, I've told you in days gone by, I had an uncle, he used to call me Knucklehead, and all that business there. And he heard me preach a time or two, and as a result, I'd witness to him, talk to him, this and that. I liked him real well, you know. He's the kind of fella, you know, he could suck down a six-pack of beer before you could say don't do it, and then get out the car and throw it up and all that business there. I mean, it was a nice, real, happy-looking beverage that he had, especially when it was coming out, you know. It looked as good coming out as it did going in. And here's what he told me. He said, Knuckles, if you preach my funeral, don't try to say that I'm up there because I won't be up there and I know I'm not going up there. I said, well, hey, who knows? Who knows what's between now and then? You might turn it over to the Lord. No, I've lived too long like this. There was a time I felt the urgency. There was a time I wanted it. But now that's gone. That's just gone. I said all that to be able to tell you something right now. The Lord Jesus Christ is our hope, and my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Do you know over there in the book of Malachi, and you don't have to turn there, but in chapter 1, and it's about verse number 14, is that God told them, here's what's wrong with you. You're going to be cursed. And here's what they were doing. You can read it in Malachi chapter 1, about verse 14. They took a lamb that was blemished. That's where the average Baptist is. They want a Bible not so hard to live by. They want somebody that doesn't control their life. And they're trying to get a Jesus that'll tell them it's all right the way they're doing. And here's what he said, you're cursed because you've offered a corrupt thing. If you look over in the book of Malachi again, chapter number 3 and about verse number 9, he told that crowd that wasn't tithed because of what you're doing or not doing, you're cursed with a curse. Next time a Baptist preacher says, hey, you ain't got a tithe to go to heaven, if you're saved, you'll be a tither. It's that simple.
Yes, simple.
Somebody said, well, you know, I missed a time or two way back. I didn't know any better and all that. That's fine. You can get that squared with God, but you'll have to bring that money and 20% interest to Him. That's what He says in the book. Now, you go to the average Baptist church and say that, friend, and watch them go to wiggling. I don't know who gives what and do I care, except for myself. I want to be obedient and tithe and give the mission above my tithe. I've been here all this time, 29 years now. Miss Deanna's been keeping the books. Have I ever one time asked what anybody's given? Never. Never one time. You know why? I don't want to be restrained to where I can't preach the word of the Lord. See? And if somebody does get mad at me about it, I say, well, see, Miss Deanna, she's the one that keeps the books. No. I just wanted to say to you that God has got a different view of this whole thing. Now, we're going to close in Revelation here in a moment in chapter number 22. Because we're not going to always be in this life. I'm getting older and older, and you are as well. And one of these days I'll be in heaven and you'll be where I'm at here. Verse number 13 of chapter 22. No, verse number 3, chapter 22, book of Revelation. Now, you know, the things in heaven are pure things. There's things of beauty and so forth and on. But look in Revelation 22, verse 3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. You know, it's easy to go to drifting a little bit one way or the other, right hand or left. I mean, God warns us of that. I realize that, oh, since the day you got saved, I've got saved, there's probably been a time we got a little bit out of step. But you ain't going to get too far out of step if you're a child of God, for He jerks a knot in you and makes you realize that, oh, hey, you better blind back up, not there to the right or the left. Did you know if He just let you keep going, then it wouldn't be long and you'd be so far out that you could never get back. And if you ever get that way and you are a child of God, He'll sign your death warrant and you'll be gone. That's true. He's not going to allow His children to become a stumbling block to those that are out and around in the world. I can't tell you how many times that I wanted to just up and quit. You know the reason why I can't? Do you know that not only sitting in this building here, it would shock some of these boys and these girls? But that ain't the reason. I don't want my britches dusted by the divine paddle. And He certainly will. As a child of God, you're either going to walk with God or you're going to walk away from God. And let me tell you right now is, I don't know about you, but in this sin-filled, sin-cursed world that we're living in, our lip and our life ought to show there is a difference between being saved and just being religious. A difference in it. I wonder, how about that? Do you know that every time that I'm sitting around thinking, Lord, I pray You'd help me. Help me to pray not only for our church, at individuals, we got a lot of boys and girls that are growing up. Boy, there's going to be a lot of devils pulling at them to the right and the left. And they're going to seem like every excuse is a good one. But it ain't going to matter that you come to the house of God, that you hear a little bit of preaching. What matters is when God is dealing with you alone. When God goes to dealing with you so much that you're looking around thinking, man, I wonder where the preacher is. Is he here doing something? He's got to be doing something. Is there a drone in the sky? Let me tell you, there's something been going on before the drone ever got here. And He sees us He sees us and shows us ourselves like He sees us. And it's not a pretty sight. Closing, there's a couple of passages. I don't remember exactly which where they are. But remember what Job said? I heard about Him with the hearing of the ear. And now I've seen Him, and I abhor myself. Remember that? If you ever get a good glimpse at yourself in the light of the Scriptures and the light of the Lord, you won't like what you're seeing. You just won't. Make no mistake about it. I'm glad that God's given us not only salvation for free, but an ordained walk that if you're a child of God, here's where you'll walk. And it's in the words of this. And there's no ifs, no ands, no buts, no maybes about it. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Now, Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unloved. Lord, we thank you for being able to live in America, and we are sorry that America has gotten so far away from thee. Now, I pray that